Com Premanandi, Prabhupada ki jai. No? Okay, yeah, something. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksuramlitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Avinebhyo Vaibhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So let's chant the Sikshastakam. It's in the folders. Okay, we'll chant it together. Cheto darpanam marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam shreya karaiva chandrika vitaranam vidyavaru jivanam anandam buri vardhanam pratipadam punamritas vardhanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatarpita Nimitas Marinena Kala Itadrasi Tavakripa Bhagavam Mamapi Durdaivam Indrisham Mihajanunana Raja Janada Pisanichena Torori Vasihishnana Amanina Madanena Kirtaniya Siddha Nadanam Nasjanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Jammani Jammaneshwari Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoita Kitvayi Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishume Bhavam Budhau Kripaya Tavapara Pankaja Stutaduli sadisham vichintaya Nayanam galadasayaraya Vadanam gagadaya rudaya gira Pulaka nichitam vapukada Tavanama grahane bhavishyati Yugayatam nameshena Chakshusha pravashayatam Sunyayatam jagatsarvam Govindaya Hare Name Aslisya Vapararatam Panastumam Adarshanam Mamahatam Kurotuva Yatatata Vabadhatu Lampato Mat Prana Natas. Okay, just someone read the first verse.
Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtana movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious.
O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you have invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. O my Lord, out of kindness you have enabled us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them.
One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly.
Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causes, devotional service, birth after birth.
Oh, son of...
Go ahead, Athena.
O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your itinerant servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet.
O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up, and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name?
O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence.
I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditional.
Okay. Can you shut that door, please? Okay. First, I want to thank each person very deeply for coming. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it mentions there's two types of service for a devotee. One is called Paricharya, and one I think is called Parishnena. I forgot the second one. But one is like, you know, you get a chamara, fan the person. The other is hearing, and that's the better service. Because when you hear from a Vaishnava, it also engages him in service. So there have been a few challenges to this particular class. I'm going to give a quote. You tell me who said it. The best laid plans of mice and men often go astray.
It
should be obvious.
Is it Steinbeck? Yes. Steinbeck?
What?
Is it, yeah. Steinbeck.
John Steinbeck, yeah.
Yeah. Steinbeck.
Yeah, I like that phrase. Well, we had our plans, and it didn't exactly work out where we were going to have the class, and the Bhakti Center is so successful now that it's sometimes hard to even rent a room. So at the last moment. So I'm not sure yet. I have to check with them whether there's a room available next week, but I will inform every one of you where the class will be. We still are getting an apartment, but it doesn't look like it's going to be what it was before. Some of you may know the story, but we had a donor, and he wants to buy our property for us in Colombia instead, so he's downsized to a one-bedroom apartment. So it won't be big enough for the seminar, so we'll have to make some other arrangement. But I'll inform you. What time in Yogamaya is it available on Saturday?
It's not at all because we have...
Okay. Oh, that's...
teacher.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, different things. Kastupa said maybe I can use his apartment, but maybe this will be available. Okay. So I'm really happy here. This is what I like the most. And I like this actually even better than upstairs because I'm looking at my favorite picture of Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is behind here. And I even kind of like this set. And it's kind of like my room in Vrindavan, you know, kind of very small and intimate. And it's what I like to do more than anything else. My godbrother, Bhurijan Prabhu, he said that your taste in Krishna consciousness is kind of like the door for the spiritual world. Like Gail just loves to hear classes. And just go for it, Gail. Open the door. Bryn loves kirtan at Radha Govinda Mandir. Champak loves to iron my clothes. I'm serious. I'm just saying. So, no, really. She likes Guru Seva. It's what you're... This is what I like to do. I like to engage with the philosophy, conceptualize and express it, and share that with other people.
Much better than some.
Much better, isn't it? Especially for you, Gail. And this is what I always do when I'm in Vrindavan. Janine, you were there, right? Every day at, I think, 8 in the morning, at 4 o'clock, you come out and you go through different... a lot of people, I preached in the Northeast, a lot of people from that teaching came to Krishna consciousness. One of the main ways it came is from giving Shastra regularly. Because people will come and come and come, but they won't move forward very much unless they actually hear the sacred texts. Let me ask you, because actually, and it's also a very intimate group, because a lot of these people have been hearing me regularly. It's not what the amount that it was in the previous years because of all the changes and things like that. But it's regular students. Let me ask you, Bryn, how does hearing from, you know, someone you like to hear, how does it help you?
It fills my head with good things to contemplate further. So when I'm not here, I have some direction about how to organize my thoughts.
Wonderful, yeah. No, that's it. When you hear regularly and you think about it, then it becomes the means by which you engage in the world. And your decisions determine your fate or future. So how are you going to make the right decisions? How are you going to know what are the wrong decisions? How are you going to know what to aspire for? And what to speak of, the process of hearing Shastra itself is such a powerful Krishna Anushilanam, bhakti. It's such a powerful absorption. I remember I had friendship with different saints in Vrindavan, and I was visiting one friend. And I remember, you know, he did a lot of chanting, and then when he came out of his room, Can you open the window a little bit in the back for Gail?
No, it's because I was rushing at the time.
What?
I'll be okay. It's because I was rushing.
It's a little bit. Just one of them. Okay, just a little bit. Okay, that's good. So I came, you know, and usually he was chanting, but in the morning he was writing. And I remember he looked up and he said, oh, this is a good Krishna Anushilanam. Krishna Anushilanam is the basic principle of bhakti, that Anushilanam means your activities, Shilanam, your activities, Anu, they follow Krishna, which means when your activities follow someone, it means you follow their desires. Your activities are intended to please someone. But that's the principle of bhakti, that absorption. So it's a fact. I don't think, you know, I think the kirtan you're getting, Bryn, you're getting so much nourishment. But you really need to hear thoughts about Krishna and understand how to see the world and how to reflect on your life and see how you can improve it. So that's really good. Lucy, what do you get out of, you know, because there's many types of classes, but, you know, my classes are particularly, we go over the sacred texts. We really engage with Shastra. How does it help you?
Just when I hear someone explain the philosophy and I understand it, just strengthens my faith. It makes me see that I'm on the right path, and there's so much gratitude for it. But it comes from that understanding that I get only by someone explaining it.
It's a fact. That's how we get faith. And what is faith? Faith is our goal. Our trust. Our Prabhupada said, faith is unflinching trust in something sublime. So unless you hear Shastra, your faith doesn't come. You know, right now, I hope you all here are getting my Monday morning greetings, trying to make sure everybody's on them. And it's a very interesting thing, because to do that every week and have something significant to say, I really have to be immersed in Shastra. Because when you're immersed in Shastra, then you get realizations. You actually see things in the world. And if you don't see things properly, you won't act properly. You know, to actually be advanced in spiritual life, you have to see things properly. You can't be a man and the first woman that walks by thinking this is the goal of life and see it that way. But how many times do we have just those type of things that we have the wrong faith? And a lot of times we don't even see it. And I'm amazed how many components of vision I need in my life to advance in Krishna consciousness. And I've been doing this for, you know, it's amazing. I've been in Krishna consciousness, this is my 47th year. So I've always been engaged with Shastra. How many things still do I see, do I realize? If you want to act properly, you have to see truth. That's why we have Guru. Gyani Nas Tattva Darshana. He's one that sees Tattva. He sees the subject. Therefore, he can help you to realize that subject. So it's so important. And one thing I have tried to represent at the Bhakti Center is this aspect of Krishna consciousness, that we should deeply study the Shastra. And I see how it works through people like Gail. She's been listening for so many years. But Gail, I see improvement. You see how humble she is after all these years. But so it's important. Now, I'm going to read something. We're going to study. And the way it's going to work, I thought I was going to do two verses a class, and then four the last. I'm just going to do it, and throughout the summer, I'll continue. And, you know, like I'll do the first three, and then I'll just announce it. Always, you know, I'm going to give another class sometimes. I'll figure it out. But I'm just going to do it till I finish it. And it's always being videoed, so you can always look back, or if you miss a class, you can come. And so I'm going to read what... So this is what Prabhupada said. Lord Chaitanya gave us eight stanzas of his mission, what he wanted to do. They are explained in eight stanzas, and they were known as Sikshastika. Siksha means instruction, and astika means eight. So in eight stanzas, he has finished his instruction. And his next disciples, the six Goswamis, explain them in volumes of books. So Lord Chaitanya only wrote eight verses. I'll give a plug. If you get the new BTG, Satyaraj wrote a nice article, Prabhu, on the history of the Sikshastakam. I'm not going to speak so much about the history, but it's amazing. And it only became an astika, which means one particular poem, when the main biographer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj, you know, found these verses. There were eight verses. Srila Rupa Goswami made an anthology of verses on Krishna consciousness called the Padyavali, Rupa Goswami was one of the main teachers. And he wrote something called the Padyavali, and he just collected all the verses from the different Vaishnavas and put them in one book. In fact, the term Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada's English term Krishna consciousness, comes from a verse in the Padyavali that maybe Rupa Goswami himself wrote, but he collected an anthology of poems from all the great Vaishnavas. That's Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. Mati means the mindset. Bhavato, the mindset which is in the emotion. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa, of your eternal relationship with Krishna. And Prabhupada, because he was such a pure devotee branding genius, he said, these guys are not going to get this. Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement. The Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati movement, Kijai. The Krishna consciousness movement. So, but Krishnadas Kaviraj, he put them in an astika, into eight verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read those verses. And it's the culmination. It's the culmination of the whole history of Lord Chaitanya. So it's at the very, very end. Let me just find that. And I'll just read those verses. Last chapter is called the Shikshastika prayers. Okay. So, only the most fortunate will relish the mad words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which were mixed with jubilation, envy, agitation, submissiveness, and grief, all produced by ecstatic, loving emotions. So, describing, maybe I'm going a little bit ahead. Let me ask a question here. Okay. Who knows the internal and external reason for the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This is important. Gail?
The external reason, well, one external reason also to share.
Share?
Is there another external reason?
No, that's the external. External reason doesn't mean superficial. It means what he did for others. Basically, it goes something like this. God is the supreme enjoyer, and what he enjoys is love. But unless he takes the position of his devotee, he can't be the supreme enjoyer. So for God to be complete, he has to have the same experience that his devotee has, the topmost devotee at the height of her love. So Krishna, eternally to be perfect, also has to have the position of his devotee. So Krishna comes to taste that love and to distribute that love. This is it. You taste it and you distribute it. He wants that love of Radha, and he wants to distribute it. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then it's a very interesting story. He understands, right? He doesn't have it because he's God. God is the object of love. He's the beloved. The devotee is the subject of love. He is the lover. And I give the simple example. If you want to experience motherly love fully, you can experience that by being the object of motherly love, the child, and the subject of motherly love, the mother. It's the same energy, but relish from different standpoints. Yeah, the children can't play in there during my class. They have to go someplace else. Or the door will have to be shut. So I froze. My hands are frozen here. Okay. But it's the same energy, but the mother enjoys more. So love of Godhead, that's what God enjoys. He enjoys love of Godhead. But it comes from the heart of the devotees, and the devotee enjoys more. The lover enjoys more than the beloved. The mother enjoys motherly love more than the child. It has to be. So God has to become his own devotee. And that's the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's his history. And at the very, very end, in his full relish, he begins to explain what he experienced and how he got it. And he summarized that in 8 instructions at the very end of his life. So it's a beautiful summary. So it's describing only the most fortunate relish them. So he's intoxicated with love. This is the birth of the Shikshastakam. He's intoxicated. So jubilation, envy, agitation. It means he's churning with emotions. These high, intense emotions of love. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided at Jagannath Puri, he was continually overwhelmed day and night by separation from Krishna. Day and night he tasted blissful songs and verses with 2 associates named Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. So his 2 most confidential associates, and he's chanting the holy name, because that's the process. Because when you want your relationship with Krishna, then the way you get it is when you focus on Krishna with an open heart and faith, then you feel Krishna and it inspires the love in your heart, it inspires your relationship with Krishna. Emanating from the body of Krishna is transcendental pleasure, just as heat and light come from the sun. So when you want it, your relationship with Krishna, you chant the holy name with faith, because faith opens you up to that experience. Just like the sun has heat and light, but sunglasses can cover you. Suntan lotion can cover you. A cloud can cover you. So our ego can cover us from the glory of God, even when we're chanting. So with that faith, you open up and you begin to feel it. And to increase that faith, you have to hear about the person whose name you are calling. In some bandha. Because love comes in relationship. So at a particular level, you're chanting the name, but what you're hearing is my lover. You're hearing my child. You're hearing my friend, my master in relationship. So he would be with his confidential associates, and they would be communicating the sentiment of love through poetry and story. And they'd be singing to him, and verses, which encapsulate poetry. What poetry does is it embodies an emotion and makes you feel it. It just doesn't explain it. So he's like, and you need those. In bhakti, when you're cultivating devotion, you need verses, you need poetry. Just like on the disappearance day of Guru, there's a particular mood. In Prabhupada's disappearance, there's a mood. Mood of separation and Guru Bhakti. So we chant. We need a song. You just can't stay with that love in your heart. You need a song to bring it out and increase it. Yaya nilo prema dana karuna prachur. So it brings it out. So he's listening to all these songs. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions, such as jubilation, lamentation, anger, humility, anxiety, grief, eagerness, and just mentioning all these emotions are coming. In love. He would recite his own verses, expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoy tasting them with these two friends. So while he was doing it, he would compose his own verses sometimes. He can compose his own verses in a very beautiful way. Sometimes the Lord would be absorbed in a particular emotion and would stay awake all night reciting related verses and relishing their taste. Now, I have associates in Vrindavan and friends that are practicing deep Krishna consciousness. As a result of their surrender to Srila Prabhupada's mission and the mercy they got. And they're reading, and they're at that level that they have moods of devotion. And I can see a mood of devotion and a story of devotion would enter into their consciousness, and they'll be absorbed in that for days, relishing it. So this is what Lord Chaitanya taught. In great jubilation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy, know from me that chanting the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali." So in all this ecstasy, now he states, this is it. It's chanting the holy names. In this age of Kali, the process of worshiping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains shelter to lotus feet of Krishna. And then he quotes this verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where they discuss the incarnations. And Lord Chaitanya is chanting it, but actually it's a verse that predicts his appearance in the Bhagavatam. Because the incarnations are mentioned, and then it mentions the incarnation for the age of Kali, and it describes Lord Chaitanya. So he starts saying that verse, Krishna Varnam Prasha Krishnam. Krishna Varnam means the category of Krishna. Varna also means the color of Krishna. Twisha Krishnam, but his color is not black, it's golden. So he says, Krishna Varnam, Twisha Krishnam, Sango Pangasta Parshadam, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer, Yajanti Hi Sumedisa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So this verse is by Saint Karabhajana in the Bhagavatam. Simply, Lord Chaitanya says now, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all desirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of love for Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya breaks out with the Shikshastakam. And basically, the first verse is about the holy name and how it develops faith in Krishna, in bhakti. And then the next verses describe systematically by the holy name how you advance step by step in Krishna consciousness. So it's the Shikshastakam. It describes the different stages of bhakti. Adau Shraddha begins with faith. Tata Sadhu Sangha. This is how we advance, by chanting the holy name. And it'll describe all the eight stages of bhakti, beginning with faith, appreciation. This is good. By the experience, our faith is not blind faith. It's trust by evidence. We believe something, but we have evidence, and the evidence is our experience. We are chanting the holy name, and we develop faith. We develop trust in the holy name. And then the trust comes to the level that it's so good, Sadhu Sangha. It's so good. I want to be with the people who are doing that. And then it becomes so good that I want to develop the practices. That's called bhajan, bhajana kriya. Then it's so good, anartana vritti, I want to give up the things which have no value to it. Then it's so good, I will do it all the time. That's called nishtha. And then when you do it all the time, it becomes very tasty. Because when something is good, it's tasty when it's pure. Like water. When I first went to the Himalayas, I never understood what's this rot. Raso apsaka. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. You mean the taste of water? Water doesn't have taste. What about the taste of water? When I went to the Himalayas, and it, before it went down the plains, and you get the pure water when it's not mixed with anything, I said, ah, yes. The taste of water. I am the taste of water. So when bhakti becomes fixed, there develops this real relish for it. And then it increases. And that door should be open. This shouldn't be locked. Why is it locked? Hey, come on in. Good, come. Who locked that door? It should be open for people. Then why do you lock it? People have to come. Well, why don't you come in here? Well, in front, and then I... Too many people are on the side. Whatever you missed, I know you come all the way from Pennsylvania. Whatever you miss, we're having on in the video. Okay, good. I'm becoming more and more encouraged. So where was I? And then what happens is it becomes an addiction. It's not just a taste. It's not that I really like it. I can't help myself. And then when that voice in your heart comes so deeply, when that addiction comes, the voice in your heart is craving and screaming for Krishna, then Krishna gives you his own love. He gives you his own love, actually the essence of his bliss potency enters into your heart, and that's called bhava, and then it thickens and it becomes prema, the goal of life. So the Shikshastakam describes, by the chanting of the holy name, what are the symptoms of each stage of bhakti. It's a very, very beautiful, beautiful thing. And, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's goal is to taste and distribute the love of Radha. And how does he do it? He does it by kirtan. Kirtan and prema are analogous. I had a reference for that. What does it say here? Anyway, it says, as a verse, I think it's Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it says, because Nam Kirtan invariably leads to the treasure of pure love for the Lord, true connoisseurs of devotional service consider Nam Kirtan the very fruit of bhakti. You see, we perform kirtan to get prema or love. But when you have love, the symptom of that love is you glorify Krishna on a higher level. So kirtan is the means, it's the sadhana, it's the practice, and it's the sadhya, it's the perfection. And it will give you the perfection. If you chant without offense, then you're going to get the perfection. It's described just like, good, come in. It's just like when, this is a good example, when someone, you know, when, I'm gonna just tell a story, because I feel in the afternoon time, sometimes you just got to do something wild to just get everybody like alive. It's because I'm going to tell a story about jumping off a building. But when I grew up, there was a mayor of New York called Mayor Koch, and he was a character. And he always used to say, how am I doing? How am I doing? So they made an ad to promote New York City. And this was the ad. Some guy's jumping out of a building and they call the mayor. And the mayor comes. And he's in the ad because he's such a character. And he said, don't jump. Don't jump. We have the Empire State Building. He said, no, I'm jumping. He said, no, don't jump. We got Broadway. He said, no, I'm jumping. He jumped. He said, don't jump. We got the New York Yankees. He said, no, I'm jumping. He said, don't jump. We got the Hare Krishnas. Okay, I won't jump. I knew that would waken everybody up. So, anyway, this guy is jumping. And as he's jumping, when people first come, they're tired. You got to get the adrenaline flowing. Really, it's a struggle at the beginning because people are tired. It's just different people have different days of fatigue, different times of the day for fatigue. My time for fatigue usually is like a little bit after breakfast because I get up so early. But so he's jumping, right? Now, right? And here he goes. Now, what do the people say? He's falling. But he's not falling, he's going up. But they see what the result is, right? So you judge things by a result. So when someone does kirtan, it's sometimes saying he has the fruit of all devotion. Because what is that verse I wanted to chant? He has the fruit of all... Oh, Tara Madhye, Sarva Shreshte. This is Haridas Thakur is glorifying the holy name. He's the Namacharya. Tara Madhye, Sarva Shreshte, Nama Sankirtan, Nira Aparade Poya Paya Premadan. Of all the nine processes of devotional service, chanting the holy name is the best. If you can do it without devotion, then you get the goal of life, prema. Don't underestimate the power of the holy name. And whatever struggles we have, don't underestimate the power of the holy name to bring us further in devotion. So, So this is the process, and this is the goal. And this is Lord Chaitanya's mission: taste and distribute. And how it advances. And so today we're going to discuss just the first verse. And you know, as there's the Yoga Sutras, the Zanarda Bhakti Sutras, I'm going to coin a term right now, and I hope it spreads, because then I'll get credit for it. You have to have a few jokes to keep people up, but we'll call it the Sri Kirtan Sutra. The Shikshastakam is the Kirtan Sutra, because it shows us how devotion moves. So we're going to study the first verse, and which Krishnadas Kaviraj now is going to say, this is what Lord Chaitanya, these are the things he was chanting. Somehow spontaneously from his heart came systematically the realizations. And then after this, people heard the verses, and then Rupa Goswami just put them in his anthology. Krishnadas Kaviraj, who comes after, says, this is actually an astika, an 8-verse set that's systematic. And he explains it. And then, really, there wasn't much written on it until Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a commentary, and then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also wrote a commentary. That's Prabhupada's guru. And they analyzed it very, very interesting, and especially... Prabhu, you may want to, because I'm going to move a little bit back. Where is the marker? Who has the marker? Okay. I probably won't even use it. I'll just point with it. Yeah. But what happens is he described that there's actually 8 glories of the holy name. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is such a genius. So he describes that this is the real thing. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. This is the subject. All glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And what he described is that this systematically describes each part of this first verse of the Shikshastakam, describes a different level of faith in bhakti, right? Adau Shraddha, Tatas Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. It begins with faith, and then after faith, you associate, then after that, you practice. And then after you practice, then you give up what's unwanted. So this actually describes all the symptoms in sutra form of what chanting the holy name will do to someone's heart. Very fast. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Not only does it describe that, but each of these sections correspond not only to a level of advancement, but to one of the verses in the Shikshastakam, because this is the first verse. So there's 8 verses. So this, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, that refers to the first verse, which is about kirtan. I hope I took that note. Let me see if I did. Yeah. In a general sense, the first shloka teaches the process of congregational chanting. The second, how one can realize his ineptitude in chanting. The third, the process of chanting the whole. So the verses of the Shikshastakam are very, and they're represented here. Let me say this again clear, it'll become more clear. There's 8 different sections of the first verse. They correspond to the 8 verses of the Shikshastakam, which are also corresponding to the different levels of bhakti. which he goes even further, and this is very, very esoteric, but I'm not going to explain so deeply it, but I'm just going to explain why it's so esoteric. He also wrote a book, Bhajan Rahasya, The Secrets of Spiritual Practice, which I read, and which is the guidebook for advanced practices of Krishna consciousness. And what he also described is that in Krishna's pastimes, Astaka Lila Smaran, Krishna's pastimes have 8 sections of the day where Krishna does different activities, and one process of chanting and practicing is people would meditate on the different pastimes of Krishna at different times of the day. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur put this all together in a very interesting way, that each verse of the Shikshastakam was also a meditation on the different times of the day. And then he even went further. In chanting the holy name, there's 8 couplets of the holy name, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's 8 couplets of the holy name. So what he'd do is he would chant Hare Krishna, and he would meditate, he would chant, and he would pronounce the first syllable in a very pronounced way. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Because whenever you concentrate on one thing, it fixes your mind at a certain level of concentration. So in chanting, you can also go Hare Krishna, and then it'll fix your mind. But in that, he would meditate on the first verse of the Shikshastakam and the beginning of the Astaka Lila Smaran. So he analyzed that in a very, very deep way. So I just wanted to show that briefly. If this was a little bit confusing, I think you got some idea of it. It's going to be more clear when we do it. I think when anybody that's here, if I have your email, we'll start an email group where the video of the lecture will go, and you may even see it again. So now we're going to discuss, and it's so relishable. It really is. No, this is life. This is life, really. Isn't it, Harisham? This is like real life. We have to discuss the Shastra. We have to discuss the Shastra. And like others say, Bryn and Lucy, etc., they give you thoughts. They give you feelings and they give you thoughts. You may just get a feeling, wow, how wonderful is our acharyas, our teachers, how deep it is, Krishna consciousness. Inspiration, how I want to advance. And like you said, Lucy, it gives faith. It gives trust. When you hear truth, it gives trust in truth. But you got to hear truth. Then you get trust in truth. And faith is everything. Because without faith, we don't move forward anywhere. We don't do anything. Faith is not just I believe or I don't believe. It's your level of conviction. And when you have a deep level of conviction, then that becomes your life. That becomes your life. Generally speaking, our practice of Krishna consciousness or our lack of practice in Krishna consciousness is not the amount of time, it's our taste. And it's our taste or our faith. Faith is taste, our conviction based on our taste. And that impels us forward. So now let's discuss it. I don't want to overload you, but there's so many beautiful things. Yes. Anytime is questions is okay.
Can I just clarify? So when you say chanting the holy name, do you mean specifically the Maha Mantra?
Yes.
Okay, but so you don't get the same benefits by chanting like Govinda, 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 other names?
Well, the second verse is going to say Nam Nam Akari Bahuda. I have unlimited names, and they have Shakti. There's primary names and secondary names. I don't want to, you know, kind of minimize Govinda, but you know, the Maha Mantra is what Lord Chaitanya gave for our practice. So it has a little special something, which is called Sankirtanaika Pitaro. Lord Chaitanya is the father of Sankirtan. So when you please the son, you get the blessings of the father.
And when you say chanting the holy name, is it specifically japa meditation or kirtan?
It does it both. Actually, we'll see. Kirtan is especially promoted by Lord Chaitanya.
So technically, kirtan is more powerful than japa meditation.
It's a different flavor. It's like, There's something very beautiful about worshiping God with others, and there's also something very beautiful about kind of a personal contact too. So it's all kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify. So japa is also kirtan. Yeah.
Also, why did I don't know if you know. Why is it that only until Bhaktivinoda are there commentaries on this? I mean, it seems that such an important thing as, the only thing that Lord Chaitanya ever wrote, you know, like all the entire three, like
yeah, why he only wrote 8 verses? Because generally speaking, the words of Krishna, his verses, give life. The words of Krishna give life. They purify you and they give life. So all great acharyas, they write books. Lord Chaitanya didn't. And if you look at his life, he only lived 48 years, and he had this mission. And the last 18 years of his life, he was in ecstasy. And when he was 24 years old, he left home. He was traveling around. For 6 years, he traveled. So basically, for the first 24 years of his life, he wasn't even manifesting divinity. And the reason why is because God doesn't have love of God. Love of God is in the heart of the devotee. So when God came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get love of Godhead, he had to get it from a devotee. So until he met his guru and surrendered to his guru, he didn't get love of Godhead. So God himself didn't have love of Godhead until he met his guru. And then he got it. And then he transformed. There's a great book. Maybe one time I'll give a seminar, but on the beginning of the Sankirtan movement, it's incredible. When Lord Chaitanya, his father dies, he goes to Gaya, he meets his guru, he becomes transformed, he comes back, people don't recognize him, he's overwhelmed with love of Godhead. He's just like, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Completely overwhelmed with love of Godhead. And then he leaves home. Poor mother, actually. Really poor mother. In fact, I'm laughing here too because you met him once, Bryn, but that great saint, Dr. Fakir Mohan, you know, he's one of the great Vaishnavas, and he would come to my retreat in Puri. He was like 90 years old. He was the most learned Vaishnav scholar in the world in terms of the history of Vaishnavism. And he was a Bhava Bhakta. He was, for 80 years or more, he was chanting 64 rounds a day. And he used to come to my festivals. And he used to come to the classes. And, sometimes he would give class. He'd come to Vrindavan and he'd give class. So he would begin, he spoke on Manasiksha. So there's 11 verses. The first verse is Guru Gaurav. You know, it lists all the things you'd be grateful for. He spoke for a month on Guru. And then one time he was another place, he was teaching the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he came to this verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This temporary material world is full of suffering. Chant the holy name of Krishna as your only business. He spoke for 3 years. So the reason I'm laughing is because I was going to do two verses in one day. I haven't even begun the first one. And I'm feeling like so inspired here that we could continue and give more. But we will see what we can cover here. So I'm going to divide it up, starting with Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Because that's the verse. The verse is, all glories to the... That's the beginning. So remember I said that each of them... So this also represents the first verse. Param Vijayate. Remember there's eight sections and they correspond to the eight verses. This represents the first verse. And the first verse represents faith. And what is faith? Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. That Param Vijayate, the most glorious thing, is kirtan. And that's where you get faith. And you'll get more faith as you hear the other seven glories of chanting the holy name and the other seven verses of chanting the holy name. So this represents Shraddha. And why? Because it says Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan, that all glories, this is the best. So that's our faith. Param Vasudev, what is literally Param Vijayate?
Supremely glorified.
Supremely glorified. Yeah, Param. Superior. So it's supremely glorified. It means it's the best. Sankirtan is the best. This is our faith. This is our faith. Tara Madhye Sarva Shreshte Nama Sankirtan. Sarva Shreshte means of all, Tara Madhye, of all the other processes, Sarva Shreshte. Of all, Shreshte means the best. Just like the verse from Raghunath Das Goswami of why we're indebted to Guru, because of the things he gives. Nama Shreshtam. The best thing he gave is the name. Manumapi. Sachi Putram, Lord Chaitanya, Atra Sarupam, and his associates, Sagrajatam, Nama Shreshtam, Manumapi, Sachi Putram, Atra Sarupam, Rupam, Tasyagrajam, Uruparim, Matra Ghostavatim, Radha Kundam, Girivaram Maho. So all these things, Radha Muralidhar, Govardhan. But what, so many gifts we've gotten. Isn't it, Lucy, in your life? All the gifts you've gotten by the mercy of Prabhupada, by the gift of Guru. Prabhupada is the Siksha Guru of everyone. So by Prabhupada's mercy, all the gifts you got, but Nama Shreshtam, the best is the holy name. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The best is the holy name. So this represents faith. And it says, not just kirtan, but sankirtan. And sankirtan means, not only kirtan, but sankirtan means complete kirtan, is we do it with others. So this also represents sadhu sangha. So the first verse, this whole verse about the holy name, the glories of the holy name, of Sankirtan, It represents faith and sadhu sangha. Because Sankirtan is done with others, with the sadhus. It gives this prem. Now, also, in this Kirtan Sutra, right, if you know the Yoga Sutras, right, it always begins with, what's the first verse? Okay, Pandaji?
Atta Yoga Nushasana.
Yeah, Atta, now. Always bring, they always don't upstage you. Right? Yeah. You always get upstage, right? We talk about that. Okay. Atta. No, we talked, you know. Remember Napoleon? Okay. Oh. Okay. Okay. Atta means now, right? The Yoga Sutras, now. What does now mean? Now means it's not just a unit of time now, but it's the culmination of time. Now that you've done everything else, this. You've done everything else, this. So every sutra says, now that you've done everything else, yoga. And the bhakti sutras say, now that you've done everything else, bhakti. And our kirtan sutras say, now that you've done everything else, even in bhakti, kirtan. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And it's conversant with, for example, the Gita, right? Sarvadhamam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayasyami ma suchaha. Give up everything else now. Just surrender to Krishna. So that's the culmination of the Gita. Surrender to Krishna. And then you have the beginning of the Bhagavatam. And what does the beginning of the Bhagavatam say? Dharma projita kaitavo tra paramo namatsaranam satam. You give up everything. Devotees give up everything. They surrender to Krishna. And then, after that, there's so many verses to explain that. So the same thing here. Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. All glories, the best glories, the most glories to the best thing, which is Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And then we'll explain it by the rest of the Shikshastakam. We'll explain it by the rest of the verse. We'll explain things by the rest of the Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri. So it's faith in this exclusive devotion. And now, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Just on this point about this verse also representing sadhu sangha, because
Sometimes
it's done with others.
Yeah.
So the attachment to Krishna that is produced from chanting the holy names,
yeah,
is that coming from like the devotion of the devotees to chant with, or is that coming from just the act of chanting Krishna's names? Like is it the kirtan of the names that's producing your attachment for Krishna, or is it chanting it with others who have that feeling for Krishna, and that's where that feeling comes from?
You know, it plays off of each other. You know, because it says adal shrad, like shraddha comes before sadhu sangha. But you can't get faith without sadhu sangha. But the initial faith, you know, may come from a sadhu, but not to the level of associating with the sadhu. Like, for example, I always use the example of Union Square, you know, the people coming out of the subway after millions and millions of years in the samsara, the material world, and then, you know, they become humble. New York has made them humble. So their hearts are open. And then from the people there that have that devotion within their hearts, and that devotion comes out, right? Satya Hari, he wrote a great article for Satyaraj's journal on kirtan. And I love the definition, you know, when the bhavan heart is expressed by the discipline of music, that's kirtan. So it comes from the sadhu, right? But it's not sadhu sangha in the sense that, you know, you hear that initially and yeah, I want to be with these people. You know, it may give an appreciation. You may walk by them. You may give a donation. You know, that's, I forgot, you were telling me the story of that businessman or something, and he got a book from Mahotsava, and then he was, you know, coming back, you know, read the book, you know, and then it comes. But he hasn't come to the point of, I want to be with the devotees yet. Okay, so I'm going to... So now let's. it's wonderful, but so much stuff has to come here. Okay, now this term. Let's analyze this term. Param Vijayate. So supremely, Vijayate, glory to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So Sankirtan, it's two words. Kirtan and Sam means complete. It's not just kirtan, it's complete kirtan. Kirtan means to praise. And it's not just kirtan, it's Krishna kirtan. All glories to this Krishna kirtan. It's a special kirtan. The names of Krishna, because they're primary names of Krishna. It's just like you can call the president Mr. President. Well, let's get another subject now. You can, you know, call someone the prime minister or call him his name. It's different when, you know, you call someone the boss, you call them by their personal name. So Krishna is the personal name of God. It's very intimate. It's more absorbing. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's, what is that verse? Oh, my God, what's that verse? Okay, I'm not going to remember it. Okay, so this Sankirtan means complete, and complete means quantitatively and qualitatively. Quantitatively complete means this is kirtan with others. And Jiva Goswami, in his commentary... it'll be here. In his commentary, Jiva Goswami says, Sankirtan means meeting with many people to blissfully sing about Sri Krishna. And it is certainly best to chant the name loudly. So Sankirtan means with others and loudly. And then the Bhakti Sundarbhit says, those who are chanting loudly are not only benefiting themselves, but also other living entities. Then the Nisringa Purana says, O Lord, those great souls who loudly chant your holy names in paramount bliss should be known as the greatest friend of all living entities. So now, I don't know where I got this from. I'll have to find the reference, but I'll say, when doing japa, one only redeems himself, but the loud chanter also benefits others. Therefore, all the scriptures say that the loud kirtan is 100 times more beneficial. Some only feed themselves, and others feed 1,000 people. You can easily understand which is the best of the two. So, all glories to this Sankirtan. I think that may have been from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then qualitatively. And qualitatively means not just chanting to finish your rounds. It's spontaneous devotion. Not obligatory. If you're too much absorbed, when you are not spontaneous in your devotion, you have to make obligations, otherwise you'll fall prey to the mental plane and you'll do nothing. So the extent that you don't have love in your heart, you have to have some sense of obligation or duty. But in our line, we're always trying to naturally bring in the spontaneity. Not that you get so much benefit from going Mangalartik, but the benefit is not at the end when you completed it and you checked that I'm there. The benefit is your absorption in that wonderful activity. In the Shant Lila, Krishna is waking up. And by Prabhupada's grace here in New York, you're able to participate in Krishna's Astaka Lila Smaran, his activities in the eight form, because now Krishna has woken up. And now you're able to see Krishna. When I'm in Mayapur and we go to this place, Tatiyastan, and their first artik is about 10 o'clock. It's a very interesting thing. It's probably the most inspiring artik you can imagine, because these old sadhus, they sing in Drupada Kirtan, and Drupada Kirtan is the most classical style of Gaudiya Kirtan. And they chant in this, and they do, what's the Italian word where you don't use instruments?
Acapello.
Acapello. They chant, and you look, and they're booming these voices, and it's like the vibration. And there's one guy there that speaks English, and he's kind of my friend. I speak to him sometimes. He said, in their tradition, it's so important for Krishna to see you in the morning. You get so much benefit from seeing in the morning. So it's not just I finish my rounds. It's the absorption in the activity. And it's a little tricky because as you do more, even in an obligatory way, you become much more absorbed in it. I like to do more because when I do more, it becomes easier. But initially, the beginning of it may be a little bit obligatory. When you start doing more, it becomes more absorbing. And so it's not just doing kirtan, but it's qualitative kirtan. And the qualitative kirtan is that you're doing it with love. And that's what comes in the parampara from Prabhupada. And when you see, you're at Radha Govinda Mandir, that there's so much in that parampara of prema. How kirtan is not about entertainment. Kirtan is not about me in the center. Kirtan is about Krishna in the center. And they're so trained in that, it has a different effect on other people. And the classic example of this is when Lord Chaitanya came into Puri. Not Lord Chaitanya, when the associates of Lord Chaitanya, 200 Bengali associates of Lord Chaitanya come into Puri. And if you ever saw these groups do kirtan, it would blow your mind. The technique and it's just amazing. And, you know, they're dancing and the way that Madanga sounds, the incarnation of Krishna's flute, it's so sweet and they play off of each other. And the kirtans are just so incredibly beautiful in the singing. So they're coming in. And King Pratarucha, you know, he's heard thousands of kirtans. There's so many kirtans. But now the first time Lord Chaitanya's disciples are coming into Puri, and King Prataparudra, he's the king who's become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but for reasons Lord Chaitanya can't see him because he's the king. If I go into this, then it's never going to finish anything. So he's on the roof. And he's looking, and he's with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya. And he says, I've never heard a kirtan like that before. What is it? You see, and it's not just the technique. He saw the technique. It's the bhava. It's how you're doing it with that quality. And I know I have certain kirtan people that they chant, and something happens to everyone around, and you analyze it, and it's not necessarily like it was the greatest they're good musicians, but they're not the greatest musician. It may not be the greatest voice, but something happens. So that's called Prem Kirtan. So this Sang Kirtan means Prem Kirtan. And it's Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And Sri also can indicate Radha. So he's come to give kirtan, but in a mood of love, in the mood of love of his devotee, the mood of love of his devotee in the highest mood of separation. He's chanting in the high. So Sri Krishna of Krishna. So Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Okay, now, so Param Vijayate refers to the first verse and to the stage of Shraddha, faith. Param, it's the best. And Sadhu Sangha. And now, Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam. It extinguishes the fire of conditioned life. The fire, Maha Devagni, the great fire, Nirvapanam. It's like Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha, same word kind of, Nirvapanam. It extinguishes it, the fire of material existence. So bhava means matter and material consciousness. What's material existence? You're fixated on matter. You're identified with matter, and therefore you suffer. I really have to figure out now because there's so many things that come to my mind. Okay, I'll give a little break for something exciting. Last weekend, I went out to Pennsylvania because I'm writing a book with this person as a television show, and about 1.5 million people see it every week. And his television show is called I Speak for the Dead, because he's a coroner. He does those crime scenes things. So I Speak for the Dead. It's on Discovery Channel. So the book is going to be called The Swami and the Coroner Walk in the Woods, Everything You Wanted to Know About Life and Death. So we had our first discussion. And the theme of it is now, you know, part of it, he's the coroner. We have a very good relationship, and he's going to explain about how that happened. You may read it in my article, The Republican Vaishnav. But he's dealing with all these things. And he's seeing this incredible epidemic of opioids. And he said to me, he said, you know, people in the ghettos were dying of these things for years, but now that it's in the suburbs among the white kids, now it's an epidemic. So he said, one after another, and he's dealing with them, like one after another. And then, so he speaks for the dead. He said, well, what is the cause of this? So we're talking, what is the cause? The cause is that it's a spiritual problem. People are not contacting their soul. They're not contacting the love in their hearts. And the whole world is driving them towards matter. And it's creating such despair in people. So this fire of material, and it's insurmountable because we're attached to matter. Even though it makes us suffer, life after life, we're doing the same things again and again and again and again and again. And it's insurmountable. We can't give it up. So he says it's like a fire. Lord Chaitanya says it's like a fire. And why like a fire? Because a fire does not start on its own. And a fire cannot be a mahadvagni, a great forest fire. It does not stop on its own. How does a forest fire start? Generally, it's the twigs and the branches. It's dry and the wind is blowing. And just a spark comes there at a certain time and it just starts. And so that's material existence. It doesn't start externally. The forest fire, there's nothing external that makes the forest fire. It starts in the forest. So nothing is causing it. It's not God's causing the forest fire. It's God is responding by karma to the way we exploit things in the world, and his reactions. But basically, it's within us. That's the fire of material existence. There's one commentary I read on this, modern commentary, and the sadhu tells a very interesting story. There was a very faithful disciple, and the faithful disciple comes to his guru, and the guru says, go get some fire, because they do the fire yajna. In certain lines, their big thing is the Agnihotra, the fire yajna. They're doing the fire yajna. So he goes, but the guy said, oh my God. He said, you know, it was like it rained last night. Where am I going to get the good wood? So he goes to his guru, and he said, Guru Dev, I couldn't get any fire. And the Guru Dev said, go to hell. And he said, yes, Guru Dev. So he went to Yamaraj. He went to hell. Yamaraj is the Lord of hell. And he said, oh, this is really good. Everybody's burning at the stakes. You know, this is great. You know, I can serve my guru. So he asked Yamaraj, he said, can I have some fire? Yamaraj said, there's no fire here. He said, what do you mean there's no fire? He said, oh, they brought their own fire. Yes, right, Janine? Yeah, I said, yeah, they brought their own fire. So that's what it means. The fire of material existence, it's within us. No one's causing it. And it's insurmountable, life after life, and we're suffering and suffering and suffering. And it does not stop on its own. Like a fire, once it starts, no one can stop that fire. It can only be stopped by the mercy. Can only stop by the mercy of a rain cloud. It can only be stopped by the mercy of a rain cloud. So, in the same sense, this fire of material existence cannot be put out by our own. Therefore, jnana won't work. Because the process of jnana has material prerequisites. You have to be austere. You have to be learned. You have to be in a book. It's all your own power. That's why yoga ultimately is impossible. To perfect yoga is impossible. I'm sorry, but I have to tell you this. To perfect yoga is impossible.
I
hear you. Yeah, I know. I'm joking. But it doesn't work. So you need mercy. You can't stop this by your own. And what's this mercy? It's the rain cloud. And what's the rain cloud? Goloka Premadan Hari Nam Sankirtan. It descends. The holy name descends from God. And it's the only thing. And I always remember this kirtan I was attending in India. Somebody invited us. It was 8 hours away. They said it starts at 5 o'clock. It was a parade of the marriage of Ram and Sita. And I got there at 5, and then it started at 9. And my first thought understanding that this whole parade now is being lit up in the middle of the summer by these lights that come from a generator with a wire, and there's like 50 workers, they're called coolies, they have these lamps on their heads, attracting billions of living entities. It's so hot, and the kirtan is beginning, and the float in front of me is freaking me out, because the float in front of me is the float of Lord Shiva on Mount Kailash. So it's like, you know, 1,000 kilos of ice somehow packed there with this sadhu sitting on it with live cobras climbing on his body. And I'm just thinking like this. The first thing is like, when is this going to end? And you know, when time stops, when you go in the future, you go in the past. Time disappears when you focus on the moment. So once you say when it's going to end, time is going to slow down. And this is an 8-hour procession minimum. I'm already waiting 4 hours. I'm American. I was on time. You told me to come. You told me to come at 5 o'clock. I am here on 5 o'clock. And you don't start the whole procession tonight. But it was probably one of the most phenomenal collections of kirtaniers that was with me, led by Bibi Govinda Swami. We had the best of the African Americans, the best of the Bengalis, the best of Nashville, Tennessee. And the combination of those kirtans, I don't know. I got absorbed. And I look at them at 5 a.m. We're halfway through. But the point is, not possible to control your mind and purify yourself unless you get the mercy. So this represents anartha navritti. This represents anartha navritti. Cheto darpana marginam bhava maha devagni nirvapanam. So then there's sadhu sangha. Let me see, I've got this mixed up now. Oh, no. Okay, I got it. Param vijayate, that's faith. Oh, I skipped something, that's why. I skipped Cheto Darpana Marginam, so I have to go back. Okay, let's go to Cheto Darpana Marginam. Okay, this is like, I'll get up. Okay, so sadhu sangha, faith, sadhu sangha, the first verse. Next is bhajana kriya, that's cheto, darpanam, marginam. Cheto means yoga chitta vritti nirodha, how to clean the chitta. And what is the chitta? The chitta basically is the composite of the mind. Sometimes it's divided into pieces, like the manas, the buddhi, and the ahankara. So sometimes it's divided into like that, but it's kind of arbitrary, you know. Altogether, it's the chitta. The chitta is the faculty of awareness, your awareness. So it's described that it's like a darpanam, it's like a mirror, because it reflects what's in your proximity. And we know the concept of the mind or the consciousness is that when it's in sattva, goodness, sattva means the nature of being. So the nature of mira, darpanam, or mind, is to be straight and not dirty. Then it can be perfectly reflective. And if you can actually see what's there beyond the distortion, beyond the dirt of the desires, when you actually see what's there, there are no problems. Because even death is the illusion of non-existence. I've coined and copyrighted that phrase. Death is the illusion of non-existence. So even the greatest problem, which is non-existent, ceases to exist if your mind is clean. So it's a mirror. It doesn't have any image of its own. It's a lens. It doesn't have any image of its own. It reflects what's in the proximity. So it's reflecting our ego. It's reflecting our desires. It's distorted, and therefore our vision is distorted. And we think we are the body. We think we are temporary. And we're investing our happiness in something that's superficial and external to the self. So you suffer. So this is saying this kirtan marginum, it can clean the mind. It can clean the mind, this kirtanam. So this represents bhajan. Now you're coming to the level, not just faith, not just sadhu sangha, but you began your bhajan. You began your practice. And when you begin your practice, this is the symptom. You'll start to see that the mind becomes clean. And when the mind becomes clean, then you see God. And you feel God. And you start to feel your relationship with God. So it's not just a yogic conception that we clean the mind and we see ourself. It's a yogic conception that we clean the mind and we see God. And because we see God, we see ourselves. Because what we are is part of God. So it's like seeing the sun, then you can see yourself. So this is the bhajan, the practice. And then anartana vritti, we went over that. We went over that, that then the fire of material existence becomes extinguished. So this is anartana vritti. And this is the first verse, this is the second verse. This is the symptom of this, as you begin to become humble and you begin to chant the holy name with humility. Then, Shreya, Kairaiva, Chandrika, Vitaranam, it spreads the moonlight on the white lotus of good fortune. So let me ask you a question. How does chanting create good fortune? The analogy is there, a white lotus. It means it's very pure. It's something that blossoms. It's something that gives beauty. And what's the holy name compared to? Chandrika. It's like this moonlight on the white lotus. It blossoms. Shreya, good fortune is coming. So what's the good fortune of the shining of the holy name on your consciousness? What's the good fortune? What is good fortune? What is auspicious? More taste for the name. More taste
for the name,
yes?
More sadhu sangha. More sadhu sangha.
More sadhu sangha. In the most general term, this is from Lord Brahma's prayer, Shreya Shritim Bhakti. Shreya is devotion. It's that which you realize that you're a servant of God. You begin to realize that you're a servant of God. And you begin to realize that you're not the body. Because what is mukti? Muktir hitva. Yata rupam sarupam vivastita. Mukti is Muktir hitva yata, you give up what's artificial. Yata rupam, the artificial form, surupena, and you become situated in your real self. Become situated in your real self. That's so auspicious. And how does it happen? This glories of the holy name, the analogy is, it comes to your heart, and your heart begins to blossom. And Kairava means Chandrika, it's a white lotus. So it indicates purity. You're becoming clean now from Bhava Maha. Your heart's become clean now. And when you become, and how does this happen? Nishta, the next stage. When you become fixed in devotion, then Mangala Mangalanam, auspiciousness of your heart, when you become fixed in your devotion, then, so this name is like the moonlight making the white lotus of good fortune blossom, makes your heart blossom in bhakti. And you see what's happening. It's all faith. We say the beginning stage is faith or shraddha. Faith is something that matures. Faith is the seed of prema. Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. By some mercy of Guru and Krishna, you get the Bhakti Lata Bij. You get the seed. What is the seed of devotion? That faith, that this is good. So this is good at the level of appreciation. Then this is good and association. This is good at the level of practice. This is good at the level of anartha navritti. It's so good, I'm giving up those things that are unwanted. But it's good, it's so good. And now, it's so good that I'm becoming fixed. And immediately when you get fixed, then there's ruchi or taste. It's so good, I'm doing it all the time and I'm experiencing it. So,
Maharaj, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
You just very, very briefly touched on how the Bhava Maha, the Vagnam, is correlated with humility. Can you...
Because what's happening there is you're giving up your bad habits, you know, and it's revealing your soul. And some of your bad habits are what? Our bad habits are our ego. So when the fire of material existence is being extinguished, then you're giving up that ego, which makes you feel, you know, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound rather than being lower than a blade of grass, you know, completely intolerant. These are all the anarthas that go. Completely intolerant, full of false prestige, you don't respect anyone. Right? So then, when this happens, then you're able to do bhajan. Because there's no more pride, and therefore you can be trinadapi, sunichena, tarorapi, sahishtana, amanena, aman, kirtani. You can chant very, very humbly. So that's that, and then, of course, then, can I take an extra 10 minutes? Can I ask the group, if anybody has to go, I'm going to take an extra 10 minutes today, because it's like even in the writing process, I keep on writing over the first paragraph. My writing process, I write. When I stop, I go back. Because when you get the beginning, then everything else flows. So it's so important, these things, to get the basic conception. So, okay. And, you know, this taste is coming, this ruchi, so it's starting to reflect real emotion. So the lotus is blossoming, your faith is becoming pure, and you're beginning to really get an attraction for Krishna. You're really getting some ruchi, some taste for the holy name, some taste for Krishna's pastimes. Then, vidya vadu jivanam. It's the life of the bride called knowledge. That's what it means, but I got to explain it. The analogy is like a bride. And why the analogy of a bride? Because the life of a bride is her sweetness and her charm. So the holy name, it gives the best knowledge. The holy name gives the best knowledge. That's what it's really saying. It's the life of knowledge. And what's the life of knowledge? The holy name gives the life of knowledge. How does the holy name give the life of knowledge? What's the life of knowledge? Bhakti. How is bhakti the life of knowledge? My own experience is, because I say, like, I'm trying to write and have something to write every week. My main writing process is chanting a lot. Because it clarifies the consciousness and it gives realizations. Nothing gives you more knowledge than actually acting on the platform of truth, which is glorifying God, because that's what we are. We are a servant of God. So when we're actually doing it, we begin to realize the most important truth, that there's God and we're God's servant. Even in bhakti, we have to have some knowledge. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasarvam pavartate iti bhutva bhajanti mam buddhab. I am the source of the material worlds. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So we need a little bit of understanding. And we was talking about why shastra. A little understanding. Without buddha, without knowledge, there's not going to be bhava. There's not going to be... But what's the next verse? Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam didami buddha yogam tvam. When tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, when you're actually chanting with love and devotion, then what happens? Didami buddha yogam tvam. Krishna gives you the knowledge, the highest knowledge. So the highest knowledge will come from our practice, but without a preliminary knowledge, we won't practice. But when you're starting to chant at this level with faith and understanding, then and I made one point myself, that ultimately, what's knowledge? It's the absolute truth. And what's the absolute truth? It's a person. So how do you know a person? By loving them. You can't know anyone unless they give themselves. And no one gives themselves to anyone who doesn't love them. So when you begin to chant at this level with ruchi and taste, then the real knowledge comes, because God begins to reveal himself. You can look at someone and analyze them and study them. You'll know something, but unless you love them, you'll know very... Unless you love them, you won't know very much of them. So this is what happens by this increasing... Now you're chanting at... now you're really... chanting with real taste. You're chanting at a level that God is beginning to reveal himself to you. And when God reveals himself to you, because his body is transcendental pleasure personified, you begin to feel that deeply. Then, okay, so now the revelation by the holy name, the revelation of God, which is the life of knowledge, his holy name is the life of knowledge, because his holy name is revealing the real knowledge, which is the absolute truth, and it's revealing your own self to you. At higher levels of chanting, it describes when you chant the holy name, you have to do sadhana kram. You have to do it step by step. So first, it'll be the name, then the form, then the qualities, then the pastimes, including yourself. Because when you start to realize that holy name, when you realize the holy name is not different than Krishna, it includes yourself, because you're part of Krishna. Including yourself and who you are in relationship to Krishna. So we begin to chant and chant, and then what happens is we begin to see ourselves. And then when that happens, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Krishna reveals fully our relationship with him. So after our knowledge of relationship, then we begin to feel the relationship. And Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, I'm going to see how we translated that, is it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Because bliss is love, and love comes in relationship. And now your relationship is awakened, and you're feeling, and it's overflowing. You're a devotee. You're not being over, material desires are not doing it anymore for you. They're not moving you. This floods you. Like the full moon, rivers don't overflow the ocean. So the material desires don't overflow the devotee. But the moon overflows the ocean with the high tides. So this is the moon. The holy name is like the moon, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanaika. What's that verse? Anandam Buddhi Vardhanaika Nipano Kaivalya Nistarako. What's the next line? Oh. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanaika Nipano Kaivalya Nistarako. It's saying, the Sadgoswamis were singing this, that when the ocean of love overflows, Kaivalya Nishtarako, the impersonal conception, becomes insignificant. Rupa Goswami describes that when you realize God, Brahmananda, when you realize the oneness of God, when you have impersonal realization, it's 1,000 times more pleasurable than material pleasure. But if you multiply the happiness of liberation by infinity, it doesn't equal a drop of the ocean of devotional service. The Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. So this is what's being described here. And the symptom of bhava is moksha lagudakrit. Moksha lagu. Lagu means small. Lagudakrit means make small. It makes moksha, liberation, seem insignificant. So now, from here on in, you're coming into bhava and prema. Bhava and prema are the same. Bhava is prema ankur. Bhava is the sprout of prema. So bhava is also kind of prema, just like the sun rays are the sun. The difference is in intensity. So the sun rays could be very hot and a lot of light, but you're in the sun, it's another level. It's dense. So now these represent bhava. And then pratipadam punamritas vardhanam. Then, now this is really prema. The it enables us to taste. Well, anyway, you're tasting punamrita, the complete nectar, asvadanam. You are tasting the complete nectar, pratipadam. At each and every step, you are tasting the complete nectar. And that is prema. That is prema. Why is that prema? Because what is the symptom of prema? Prabhupada actually in the Bhagavad Gita mentioned that when you have prema, you're thrilled at every moment. Because everything is in relationship to Krishna. And what is prema? It is sandrandana visheshatma. It means your love is so thick in prema, there's nothing else in the consciousness. Sandra means like metal. You can't put a pin through metal. So when it is prema, there is nothing else in the consciousness. You're not even cognizant of anything outside your love. Therefore, it's described when someone is in prema and he's chanting, it could be that he's not even cognizant of what's outside. Just like the difference between the last two stages of Astanga Yoga, there's jhana and there is samadhi. What's the difference? Jhana means that your love is like flowing. So it's like oil dripping. There's no space in between. It's just flowing. What's the difference between samadhi? Well, at dhyana, you're cognizant that there's something outside yourself. At samadhi, you're not cognizant that there's anything outside yourself. So this is it. Pratipadam punamrita. You're tasting at every, the full nectar. At every step, pratipadam, at every step, you're tasting the full nectar. And you're completely absorbed, you're completely lost. And it describes, like Lord Chaitanya, and he's in the Rathyatra and he's dancing. He can't even get to the next syllable. He's trying to say Jai Jagannath, and he's going, and he's just, every syllable is just such ecstasy that he can't even get to the next syllable. He's completely absorbed. Because I'm pretty good with time, when I do the next class, I'll go back to these other stages. But the last one is sarvatma snapanam. Snapana means you're bathed, sarvatma. Your whole soul is bathed. So this is prema. This is called odharya. There's a description in Madhurya Kadambini when the soul finally wakes up in Krishna's lila. And he wakes up in Krishna's lila, and then he sees Krishna. And when he sees Krishna, all his senses see Krishna. You want to see with your hearing? Radhanath Swami. You see, I said his name, but you see him. You understand? So he saw Krishna with all his senses, and he just fainted. And then Krishna said, my dear Das, or whatever the name is. And then you hear Krishna. Well, that would be an example. If I say something, hearing, then all the senses. So say, Srila Prabhupada. Then you see him. Right? You see him. Srila Prabhupada. So you're hearing him, but you're seeing him. So So then with all your senses, you are seeing, you're hearing, seeing Krishna. And then you faint again. And then you get up in Krishna's arms. And then you're touching Krishna. And then all your senses. And then the final thing is, you wake up, and this is called Audharya, or unlimited magnanimity, and you see Krishna, hear Krishna, feel Krishna, taste Krishna, smell Krishna, with all the senses. And that's called Audharya. So it says you're bathed. You're bathed completely. So Param Vijayate Sri Krishna. This is the supreme glory, Sri Krishna Sankirtan, chanting with others. And then your progression of faith will increase. So, are there any questions? What?
Mic drop.
What's that?
Mic drop. It's like when you just have said just everything, you just drop the mic.
You walk away.
Gail.
Yeah. Baba Mahadevagni, that corresponded to Bhagavad Kriya. And then...
Chaito Dharpana Marjana. This is Param Vijayate, Sadhu Sangha, Faith, Shraddha, and Sadhu Sangha. Then Chaito Dharpana Marjanam is bhajan. Then at the level of bhajan, you begin to practice, this happens. Then Baba Mahadevagnamrita. Then you start to give up unwanted things. Shrekhairaiva Chandrikaranam. Then when you give up unwanted things, you become fixed and you start to get taste. Then Vidyavadu Jivanam, the taste increases because your relationship with Krishna is awakening the life of all knowledge. Then that is Asakt Ashakti. Then Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, Pratipadam Puna. This is like Bhava coming into praying, or the last three. Okay? Any other questions? Okay. We're going to hand out some cookies here. This will be a nice way to end it.
Jai.
Do we take these with us?
Yeah, but if you take them, you got to come back next week. And I'll let you all know somehow or other where it is.
Hopefully we
What?
Hopefully we all want it to be.
I do too, but I have to see if there's a room available. Okay?